It's why you get angry and old and bitter.
Welcome to the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast. All the information you need to make the most of your fantasy football league with just a touch of sarcasm to keep you from taking yourself too seriously. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this latest episode of the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast.
Well, good morning again, everybody. It's a Sunday again. Doing the show on a Sunday. It's a Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast. It's Dave. It's Wayne. And we're here in the Dr. Pepper Man Room. And I mentioned that because did you hear about the new limited time flavor that's coming out in Dr. Pepper and Dr. Pepper Zero?
I don't think so.
In honor of what they call dirty soda. Have you ever heard of dirty soda trend?
No.
So it's where you take a soda and you pour in creamer. Creamer and then some other alcohol flavoring or a citrus like a lime or something or other.
It sounds gross.
Yeah.
Because wouldn't the citrus make the cream curdle?
You would think, right? Or the alcohol.
It doesn't sound good.
But it's not really cream. It's like creamer. So anyway, so their new flavor is Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pepper Zero, creamy coconut.
Oh, gross.
I can't wait.
Coconut?
Yeah. Speaking of soda, you had the Mountain Dew's 20th anniversary of the Baja Blast, the punch, the Laguna Punch, yes. And then the Laguna Lemonade. What'd you think?
I'll be honest with you, I put a 12-pack of zero sugar Mountain Dew in my fridge,
right,
and started drinking. I couldn't stop. The Mountain Dew is so good.
Oh, so you're back on the normal.
I'm on the reg. Because all the other stuff is just too sweet and too much stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm looking this weekend at the store. Am I wrong or am I right? Is there a new Coke product out? Spiced raspberry? Or is that what spiced was?
It's raspberry with other... It's a raspberry flavor with other...
But is this a Coke spice that we tried before that tasted like 7-Eleven?
Like a mixed drink?
Yeah.
Yeah, like a rum and Coke type thing?
So my daughter from Japan called me and said, oh, yeah, they got this new Coke raspberry. I'm like, no, they got a spiced Coke that's... You know, tastes like a rum and Coke.
It might be called something different. And
well, no, but now I've seen it advertised around here as raspberry. I'm like,
yeah, because it's Coca-Cola spiced, and it's and it says on there raspberry, hint of raspberry with other flavors or something like that.
Yeah, I didn't get the raspberry at all, but okay.
And since we're on the Mountain Dew, we have. You know, we asked Jimmy Jam to get back into sending us texts.
Yes.
And now he's like blowing up my phone like he's a 13-year-old girl.
Well, you know, he's not that far away.
So he was talking about how Mountain Dew with their 20th anniversary stuff has all these things you can get for
all the
prizes.
Swag. Yeah.
And they have the little wireless speaker. He writes, for as much as you talk about Mountain Dew on the podcast, I'm surprised they haven't sent you this.
Yeah, right? So why are we not getting...
Exactly. Why aren't we getting right here on the Mountain Dew fan line, 414-520-8249, where you can send in all your texts or voicemails.
Where's our swag?
And in fact, we have a couple. I have a voicemail from Dan.
Oh.
And we have another question from Jim Jam. What do you want to do first? They're both, sports related, one isn't.
Let's start with the isn't
sports related.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and on top of that, you can also send us an email. We haven't gotten any swag from Mission Barbecue either for our email.
Well, but we do go there. So,
yeah.
And they're very good to us.
Yes.
So,
yeah. Well, cause I used to work there. We get 50% off when we order.
But I didn't want to throw that part in. I just thought it was cause it was us.
Yeah. Well, cause they like me. But you can do that on the Mission Barbecue emails, cffpodcast@hotmail.com, which also coincides with the website, cffpodcast.com. It all comes together.
So easy to remember.
Like your fingers making a little weave thing. Check out the website because our show is going to be great today. We have our top five. In fact, with our text message.
Yeah.
We have
a top five.
An excellent top five. Yeah. Plus.
Yeah.
Jim put us to work for.
Yeah. It's like, could we just hold that one off for another show? But then the season's going to start.
Yeah. And then we're going to be lost.
Scrambling. And then I remembered that we didn't do a final
draft.
Mock draft.
Yeah. So that'll be today.
Yeah.
We got our final mock draft. This will be the one where you make your money.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is it.
Although I did go to Pottawatomie last Sunday with Brian.
Yes.
And there's virtually no bets you can make. It's
on the draft.
It's ridiculous. I'm like, how come I can't pick the top four? How come it's like
I have a bet in there for.
You can't
parlay. Is it the top two or top three picks?
They didn't have them. You can't parlay stuff. It's
because I had to search around and look.
Yeah, it's just. I went on there and just pushed futures, and there's like nothing. There is a draft one too you can do in it, but it's
terrible.
Super limited.
Yeah.
Super limited.
Well.
Oh.
The sports book is opening pretty soon.
And I stand up to show you this.
Uh-oh. What's this? Oh, all your bets? Are these winners?
These are going to be my winning bets for the NFL season. I have the bets that they'll let me make.
I'll put these on the website.
Yeah. So I brought them in. I thought, I'll just give these to Dave so we can put them on the website.
Head coach D'Amico Ryans.
I got D'Amico Ryan and LaFleur.
I did one with LaFleur also.
Yeah. Like, and then I picked the top placers in each of the divisions for the conferences.
We'll get pictures of these before. That's behind the scenes, people.
There you go.
Check it on the website, cffpodcast.com, on the sports investing page. What? Now what'd you forget?
I also have something for you. I think it's in my car. I might have left it at home.
Okay.
I have your Pez dispenser for Easter.
Oh.
I found him at Aldi's. I bought him.
That's the other thing. We got a lot of shit to cover before we get into anything football here, people. So the reason we're doing the show today is because we weren't supposed to be home from our Florida and Arkansas retirement community investigation trip till yesterday. We left a little earlier, and so we got home Friday afternoon.
Oh, okay.
So, but remember how we were talking about when we were doing the candy bar thing?
Yeah.
And we were talking about salted nut rolls.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I had off on Friday before we left, so I went out to get snacks for the ride. Ran to the dollar store. I saw the big salted nut roll bars. Grabbed a couple of those. Bought them and everything, got in the car, and we're driving. I think it was from Arkansas into Alabama. And I said to my wife, I said, can you get me a candy bar? She goes, well, which one do you want? Because I got Zag Nuts and I got salted nut rolls.
Oh, there you go.
And I said, I'll take a salted nut roll. Feel like I'm being healthy. So I open it up and I take the first bite, and it had a weird flavor, kind of cinnamony.
Oh, no.
I'm like, I don't remember this. I look at the wrapper and salted nut roll, what, anything? Because I remember how we were saying there's flavors.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, maybe it's just me. So I ate the rest of it and kind of cinnamon. Well, on the way home, I said, I'll have that other salted nut roll. Open it up. Damn cinnamony. And I look at the wrapper and I'm looking closer. And I'm like, son of a salted nut roll, cinnamon churro flavor.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Oh. Like, just leave stuff alone.
Stop already.
You don't need to make 400. That's what I've reached maximum density with Mountain Dew flavors. They all taste the same now. It's like, I just go back to the original. Just stop.
Well, you know, you're going to have the 2024 mystery flavor.
I know the mystery flavor is coming right around the corner. So,
all right. Well
no, don't forget the 4th of July thing. They'll have a red, white, and a blue.
The red, white, and blue one.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyways, back to our, we're going to do our non-sports related text question. This comes from our one of our super fans, Jim Jam Flim Flam from the West Side. Hello, Wayne and master of all fantasy football knowledge, Dave.
Wow. He really likes you.
I know. What would be your top five horror movie villains? And if you were offered $1 billion to survive 24 hours of being chased by a horror villain, which one would you choose? It doesn't necessarily have to be from your top five. Keep up the good work and having such an entertaining podcast even during the off season. All right. Well, number one, I think you went a little overboard with the $1 billion.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to offer it up.
I would try it out for $100,000. I think.
$100,000 bar?
No, $100,000. Because I went, my pick is so easy. You said yours was too, right?
For the...
To win the money.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
But I have a different criteria than you do.
Let's start with number five on our top five horror movie villains before we even get into the official top five list.
Okay.
Mine is going to be Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And not only because he's daunting enough, but he's part of his crazy psychotic brothers are all involved with him. So you're not only fighting off one guy.
Get the whole family.
You got the whole family. And they're all crazy. Crazy inbreds. You're number five?
Well, I will put a disclaimer on this.
Okay.
I took a different tact on horror villains.
Of course so you did.
This is the only guy that I think would be on most people's list that actually made my list, and he made it at number five.
Okay.
And that would be Michael Myers. He's scary because he has no personality. He has no emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And he will flash forward to somewhere.
He's the one from Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes.
Jason is from Friday the 13th.
So he's going to flash forward to a guy, one of the original horror monsters.
Okay.
That kind of resembles him. And I'll explain that when I get there. But, he comes from a mental institution. It's like, creepy enough. But I don't, me personally, and this is nothing bad towards Jim Jam, I think horror movies are stupid. I we were talking about them this morning. Pet Sematary, Children of the Corn. They're just stupid.
And I mentioned to you, too, that I noticed in high school when I went to, the only time I went to horror movies, that maybe it's changed now. But it was really the only reason to go and see the young female stars of the movie.
Correct.
Either get topless.
The Scream Queens.
Yeah. Either get topless or a wet t-shirt.
Yeah.
That was the only point of going to the movies.
Yeah.
It was like, cheap thrills.
Am I going to see some boobie?
Somebody going to be taking a shower and then die? Of course they will.
It's always the way it works. Well, speaking of, and this is one of the horror movie guys that was considered for my list.
Yeah.
From Psycho.
Oh,
Bates.
Norman Bates.
Yeah. Oh, shower scene.
Yeah.
One of the classic horror movie things of all time. Didn't make my list, but a good flashback.
Right. Number four for me, Pinhead from Hellraiser. Now, he scares the shit out of me just because he's got needles sticking all out of his face.
It's a weird look.
Yeah.
It's a good scary look. It's a
goth look.
If you're into that, it's like, okay. Right.
Number four for you?
My number four, and this is where I veer off.
Yes.
It's the Xenomorphs from Alien.
Okay.
The original thing that bursts through the guy's stomach. And
yeah, like this with his mouth.
Yeah, and then, goes through the, grows big right away and goes through the whole spaceship. Eating and killing people.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my number four.
So a science fiction horror movie villain.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm much more into the science fiction than
I guess all these are kind of fiction.
Right, yeah.
Number three for me, Freddy Krueger from Nightmare on Elm Street. It was the orange and green sweater. Reminded me of.
Kind of tattered a little, not quite pristine.
And the burnt face from the boiler room.
The fedora.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. All right, number three.
He's a classic guy.
Yeah.
Okay, now remember I said Michael Myers would flash back to an original?
Yes.
Okay, Frankenstein.
Ah.
If you look at the comparisons between Michael Myers and Frankenstein,
yes,
uncanny how they're very similar.
Just missing the bolts.
Yeah. An accident happened. They're kind of a tragic character, but they're a monster. And Frankenstein's my number three.
Okay. Number two for me. The Jigsaw Killer from the Saw franchise.
Okay. And I'll be honest, I've never seen a Saw movie.
Oh, you haven't?
Never.
Oh, I've seen, okay, I don't know how to, I saw Saw 1.
Okay.
And I've seen Saw 2.
And then you seesawed and the
saw seed, the seed sawed. But it's a cool concept for a horror movie.
Okay.
Scarier than shit. But I think the whole idea is, do you know the idea behind the movie?
No.
Okay, so this guy gathers bad people together, and he puts them together in a situation where they need to work to they can all survive. No one has to be killed.
Oh, okay.
And that's the whole, you want to play a game?
Oh, nice.
So it's all these situations that are set up where if they just work together, they could all be saved to get out of these situations.
But of course, it's
a cool thing, and no one ever figures it out. And,
of course. Yeah. Oh, well, otherwise you wouldn't have a movie franchise.
Number two for you?
And number two for me would be Hannibal Lecter. Oh. Hannibal the Cannibal.
Yes.
A little fava bean and Chianti. I think it's a great performance.
Yes.
It's a classic, and it's not a typical horror movie, but it is a horror movie, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have Hannibal Lecter as my number one.
Oh, okay. See?
Your number one?
My number one would be Count Dracula. You cannot have enough Count Dracula movies. There a million of them made for a reason. You know, vampire movies are a classic horror movie genre.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I just watched Nicolas Cage as, what do they call it? It's not, they don't call him Dracula. In the original movie, they were afraid to use Dracula because they thought they would get sued from the book.
Oh, really?
So they used Orloff, Count Orloff.
Okay.
And then they've made the connection between Orloff and Dracula and blah, blah, blah. But there are so many horror movies that are, and I left out zombies altogether.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Because you can't.
There's not a zombie.
There's always millions.
It's a bunch of them. Yeah.
Isn't Count Dracula a real person? Count Dracula.
Well, it's there's some historic lineage there. So yes, there is a person. Was he a vampire? Was he all this other stuff? Probably not. Yeah. But it was probably back when. Remember when they? Who was the Vlad the Impaler?
Vlad. That's the guy I'm thinking of.
Yes.
Yep. Vlad.
Vlad the Impaler was the
Okay. All right, so then we move on to his other thing, which is, if you had to survive 24 hours with a horror movie villain for $1 billion, who would it be? Now, me? Always looking for the easy out. I went with Ghostface from the Scream franchise. I mean, let's face it. Ghostface is just as human as his or her victims. And every iteration of the killer has been a different person seeking revenge against Sidney Prescott.
Okay.
Who was played by the ever-gorgeous Neve Campbell.
Yes, there you go.
Now, all you'd have to do is either, number one, stay away from her, or if I'm required to be chased by the actual villain, Ghostface, it might be the easiest one to survive because Ghostface is basically pretty sloppy. He's all about tricks and jump scares before using his knife. Every movie he's been, that's what it is. And the biggest mistake the characters of the Scream movie make is that they focus more on running away rather than staying to fight.
Oh, okay.
Ghostface is not a trained killer, as he is always a different person in every movie. And in that case, staying to fight him off dirty using weapons, machinery, or a shotgun could easily do the trick, seeing as how Ghostface has zero superpowers like, you know, Freddy Krueger and Pinhead and all those other guys.
Can't be Dracula. Killed.
Yeah. There you go, Jim. Write that check out. My actual name is David, not Dave. So.
It's getting formal over
exactly.
here.
Exactly. I want that baby to clear. Your guy, you'd survive?
Okay, so I have a tie for two. And I went a different direction than Dave.
Okay.
So I have Jennifer Cheek from Jennifer's Body, played by Megan Fox.
Yeah, and you just want to be in the room with them. You don't care. Even with the weird finger.
Yeah.
The finger thumb.
And then Santanico Pandemonium.
from Dusk to Dawn, played by Selma Hayek.
Oh. She's the one that dances with the snake.
Yes, the mistress of the macabre. She actually was afraid of snakes.
For the movie?
She's afraid of snakes in general.
Oh, my God.
And she learned to do it for the movie. Oh. So that's pretty cool. I got the Megan Fox character. She's the first of an average, bitchy, popular teen in a small town, Minnesota high school. However, while watching a band from her best friend, Needy, Jennifer, and I always love the names of these people in these movies. They're always so stupid. Jennifer is targeted by the band who wish to sacrifice a virgin to Satan.
There's no way Megan Fox is the virgin.
So, who wish to sacrifice a virgin to Satan in exchange for fame and fortune. Because Jennifer was not even a backdoor virgin, in her words, the sacrifice fails and she instead becomes a succubus who delights in killing boys from her school.
Oh, nothing like a good succubus.
Yeah. And then you got Selma Hayek, the mistress of the macabre, works as a stripper at the Titty Twister Bar in the on the U.S.-Mexico border. While her role in the film is small, Santanico leads to an unforgettable scene where she dances with a snake and makes Quentin Tarantino's character drink whiskey from her toes.
Oh.
Santanico.
Does she have hollow toes?
I don't understand that part of it. She reveals herself as a vampire, and she and her co-workers massacre as many patrons as they can. So either of those gals want a party?
You're up for it?
24 hours?
Snake or no snake?
That's okay with me. I brought my own snake.
Okay. Yes. All right. So there you go, Jim Jam Flim Flam. Hope we answered your question. And now you know what it is. It's time for our calling question.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep. Hey, guys. I got a two-part question for you. I think I know what the answer to the first part is, but I'll ask the question anyway. You have two rookie cards. One Jordan Love rookie card, one Giannis rookie card. Who, if you have a chance to get an autograph by you're in line, you choose, who are you choosing to go get the autograph from? And the second part is, because I'm thinking both of you are going to probably say Jordan Love, does it matter which card is going to be worth more? Does that change your opinion on who you could go get a signed autograph on that rookie card? Would it be Giannis or would it be Jordan Love? I'll hang up and download to hear my answer. Thanks a lot. Bye.
All right. So,
okay.
He might have overthought this when it comes to me.
Okay.
But I've gone way past the whole time of autographed sports cards.
True. True.
So if I have a rookie card of Giannis and Jordan Love in my hand and I need to stand in line with a bunch of prepubescent nerd balls to get an autograph.
Yeah.
That some bitch better be worth some money.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one of those two that's going to be worth any money is Giannis.
Well, he's in the Hall of Fame already.
So. The Hall of Famer. Yeah. He's a one-time MVP, should have been two-time.
Correct.
He is a championship MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And he's arguably, I'm going to conservatively say, one of the top 10 players in the NBA right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Probably higher than that.
Yeah.
I'm taking Giannis.
See, to be perfectly honest, 100% being candid, the first thing that flashed through my mind is I have no idea what NBA cards are worth. I don't know.
I don't think
they're collectible. I don't think
any card are worth anything.
No, there's still some value to baseball cards and football
but
cards.
But old ones.
They're starting to come back.
Okay.
So I think it's one of those things if you hold on to it long enough. But here's the problem. It's like a bird in a hand. Two in the bush.
Yeah.
Giannis is a guarantee.
Yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer.
We don't know enough about Jordan Love.
Correct.
It's way too early.
Correct. So if, and your opportunities to get a Jordan Love card will be exponentially larger than getting a Giannis card.
True. Especially a rookie card.
Correct.
Yeah.
So you still have a chance to go get an autograph from Jordan Love if you want.
Yeah, there you go.
So I would, from a purely an investment standpoint, because that's all it would be for me at this point, would be I would go get a Giannis.
And again, if autograph. I have to stand in line.
Correct.
That thing better be worth something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Which means it's time to move on to our actual top five. We're 25 minutes into the show, and we're first getting to our actual top five.
Getting to our first topic here. Hey, Jim Jam. 2-hour show, guaranteed.
We keep promising this, and it never works out.
No, we never hit it. Maybe it was just we keep doing it because we'll never hit it. Then it'd be great.
And this week's top five. Now we were going to do. I know we said we would answer the email questions on top five, but like I said, I was gone all last week, so I did go with something a little easier because that question we had on the last show about top five genie wishes. Number one, I have to pair it up with something else.
Correct.
Number two, genie wishes is going to take some time.
Yeah. Well, let's just throw that out for the next show.
So the next show will be the genie wishes.
Yeah.
This one, however,
if you rub your lantern and wish, it might be next week.
And by lantern.
Yeah.
Hello. For this week's top five, that means top five mall food court restaurants and top five state fair foods. And we start as we always do.
Five.
Number five, food court foods. Number five for me is one that I don't think it exists anymore. At least doesn't exist here in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
It was Ollie's Ovens.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember them?
Yeah, I do.
So Ollie's Ovens was, they had this little flat piece of bread dough that they run, make it really thin. And then they put on your meats, your veggies, which were mushrooms and cheese and then a little sauce. And then they like fold it all over and kind of like weave it together and make some cuts in the top and they put it through this oven.
Yeah.
Oh, they were so good.
It was kind of like a calzone.
Kind of like a calzone, but without pizza stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. They had a Reuben one. They had like a ham and cheese, a bacon chicken ranch.
Yeah. The ham and cheese one was really good.
Oh. Ollie's Ovens.
Yeah.
You're number five?
Well, I'm gonna give you my honorable mention right off the bat.
Okay.
Because it's not technically a food court thing, but I'm going to say the chicken bake from Costco.
That's kind of a food. I mean, you have to, I never thought of that.
They have their own food court in there, but it's not a mall. It's a Costco. Oh, yeah.
So you're bending the rules a little bit.
A little bit.
But the chicken bake is amazing.
Yeah, it's like a chicken Caesar calzone.
It's kind of like an Ollie oven.
It's kind of like a calzone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Massive baguettes, sized calzone. It's pizza dough smattered with cheese.
Yes.
Pieces of rotisserie chicken breast, cheese, bacon, Caesar dressing.
Yeah, and you can't go wrong.
It's like $4.
Yes.
It's like $4. It's like,
and you get a soda.
Yeah. It's like, I'm doing something wrong here.
Number four for me.
Four.
Number four for me, Bourbon Street Grill. This is the one where you're walking through the mall food court trying to figure out what to eat, and there's always a lady there with a plate with toothpicks.
Yep.
Bourbon chicken? Would you like to try bourbon chicken?
Yeah. That one I couldn't remember the name of it. There's the Chinese, I think, where they were always handing out samples.
Right next to the bourbon chicken.
People. Exactly. Both together.
Bourbon teriyaki chicken?
Yeah. And I could not remember the name of the place, the Chinese place, but their stir fried rice was unbelievable. It was delicious.
Tell me your number four, and I will find that restaurant.
Oh, okay. I could not track it down. I'm going to go with, and I'm going to do this at number four only because it's so sweet, and I'm not a sweets guy. Uh-huh. So, like, I don't have Baskin Robbins on here. I don't have Dippin' Dots. There's all kinds of places you could do that are sweet. Uh-huh. I'm just not a sweets guy. But I will stop at a Cinnabon. I don't care if it's in the airport. I don't care if it's in a mall.
Just the smell.
You smell that from a mile and a half away.
You know what it is? It's kind of like Subway. It smells so good, but tastes so horrible.
Yeah.
It's Cinnabon on the other hand. Smells good and delicious.
It's delicious. And it's giant.
Yeah.
So you're sitting there eating that thing and it's like, I'm going to die right here.
Sarku, Japan?
I think that's what it is now. I don't think that's what it was.
Something else before, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I do have Sarco Japan on my list eventually, but I went more nostalgic. So yeah. Cinnabon for me is a nostalgic place.
Which means it's time to move on.
Three.
Number three for me, Sbarro.
Yeah.
I mean, what mall doesn't have a Sbarro in it?
Can't go wrong. The pizza's always good.
Chicken pizza rewarmed in a little pass-through oven. Hey. And I'm the guy who hates reheated pizza.
Well, I will tell you this. When I was driving truck, when I was doing cross-country, I would stop like down in Chicago at the, well, they're getting rid of them all, but the...
Oh, the
Oasis?
Yeah. We stopped at one of those yesterday. It's still... It's amazingly the one just south of Great America.
Okay.
Still open.
Yeah, yeah.
Still have all the restaurants.
They're getting rid of them all, though.
Are they? They're tearing them down?
Yep.
Oh, that's too bad.
They've already gotten rid of two of them, and eventually they're all going to go. But yeah, you go there, and I would always go get pizza because it was always one of the fresher things you could get.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't screw up pizza. You really can't, so...
Your number three?
My number three is going to be, and this is nostalgia only, and realistically it's drink only, Orange Julius.
Oh, yes, because they're part of Dairy Queen now.
Dairy Queen,
Orange Julius.
When you used to go there, when the malls were, it popped up in the 70s.
Yep.
One of the first places that every mall had was Orange Julius.
Yeah.
And you'd go there and get that thing, and it was unbelievable. Yeah.
I remember it when I came down here for college, and I went to college, and we had Bayshore Mall right there. We would always walk to Bayshore Mall.
Yeah.
There was always an Orange Julius in there. And I would always get an Orange Julius until I found out there was egg in them.
Oh.
Then I was like, I couldn't. I like my eggs over easy, and that's about it.
That's it.
I don't like them liquefied to give the thing a little foamy texture.
I'm telling you, it's delicious.
Let's move on, shall we? Number two for me for mall food court items, Steak Escape.
Oh. I went a different direction, but Steak Escape is good.
Yes. Number two for you?
Number two for me will be my competing place, which is Charlie's.
Oh, Charlie's Cheesesteak. That's a new one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Charlie's is delicious.
And they have even standalone places now.
Yeah. They're very good.
Are they kind of like Steak Escape?
Yeah, very much so. Okay. It's a steak sandwich. It's Philly cheese steak sandwich.
Yeah.
You know, their version of it. Yeah. But they're good.
Which brings us to this.
One.
Number one, food court for me, and mine's a tie.
Oh, okay.
You've already mentioned yours or in one of yours. It's Cinnabon.
Okay.
/ Auntie Annie's Pretzels.
Oh, see, it's going to be funny. This is going to be a funny one.
Oh, really?
Funny ending.
Number one for you?
I have a tie. And it's between Wetzel's.
Oh, yeah, Wetzel's Pretzels.
Wetzel's Pretzels and Aunt Annie's.
Yeah, you either have one or the other, but they're the same fucking thing.
And they're both great.
Yes.
You get the pretzel with the cheese, or if you really want a sweet thing, you get the pretzel with cinnamon sugar on it.
Have you ever had the hot dog with the pretzel?
Yes.
And then they have the little mini weenies with the pretzel. I'm like, this is heaven.
I know. It's just, I'm telling you, those two places are awesome.
All right. Let's move on. It's the top five state fair foods. Now, I have only ever been to the Wisconsin State Fair. So I'm going to put that out there as a qualifier.
I've been to other state fairs.
Yes.
But
the food's same?
Not really, but the thing is, you go to another state fair, you're not privy to the local places.
Uh-huh.
So you're trying all the stuff on the, what do they call that? The walkway.
The main.
Yeah, it's like Main Street here, but there's a name for it. But anyway, you know, all the Snickers on a stick, you know, deep fried Snickers, all that crap.
The Concord.
It's not the Concord. No.
Anyways.
But. Yeah, there's all those eateries that are like the little carts that people bring in.
Yeah.
It's not the permanent places. For Wisconsin State Fair, I can give you permanent places that are going to be there that you can get this food guaranteed. So I went with Wisconsin, too.
All right. Yeah, mine are all permanent ones, too. Well, kind of. Anyways, we start like we always do.
Five.
Number five. Hand-squeezed, hand-shaken lemonade.
Mm. Huh? Yeah.
They squeeze part of half of a lemon into a glass full of ice and dump a little sugar in there and put water in.
Yep.
Shake that sumbitch up. Delicious.
Yep. Yeah, can't go wrong.
Leave the lemon, super half of simple. Lemon thing in there. Yes. For $8. I mean, what the hell? It's water.
Exactly. And then all the ice melts and it really doesn't make any difference.
Number five for you.
Okay, so before I do five, I'm going to do my two honorable mentions. These are two things that I get every single time I go to the state fair because it's...
That's what mine are.
It's not like nostalgia.
Yeah.
But I have the butterfly pretzel from the pork shop, spelled with two P's and an E. It's delicious sandwich, and it's super cheap.
The butterfly pork sandwich?
Butterfly pork sandwich. And then corn on the cob. State Fair corn on the cob. I know
from the Lions Club?
I know it. Yeah. I know it's the same everywhere you go. Yeah, it's corn all summer long. Corn on the cob doesn't change. But there's something about eating at State Fair.
And they've moved forward. Well, I don't know if it's forward or if it's just gotten for people like me. Because I hate eating corn on the cob.
Oh, God,
but I love it. But now did you notice you can get in a cup? So they take it off the cob and put it in a cup with the little seasoning and butter. Yeah,
but I've had the Mexican street corn, which is
in the cup. Yeah, yes. So that's I can even eat corn on the cob now because they take it off and do the work for me and put it in a cup.
And here's the funny thing: when I was out in California,
yes,
I used to go to like flea market kind of things.
Yes,
they have them all over the place out there. Every racetrack, every fairgrounds, everything. They have the thing every weekend or the flea market. And I would go there and always get Mexican street corn. Mexican street corn in California, completely different than Mexican street corn here. Oh. It is way spicier.
Well, they got a lot of real Mexicans there.
I got it and I'm like, somebody has to pick the grapes. but I'm eating this stuff and it's like, you get to a layer of, and I don't know if it's that orange, you know, that orange salty sauce stuff that they put on everything. Tijan.
Okay.
Tijan or whatever it is. But it's hot.
Yeah.
And so you're like mixing this up, trying to get the cream and everything in there. It's like,
but it's still got butter on it.
Yeah. It's delicious. It's delicious. You can't go wrong.
Let's move on.
Four.
Number four for me. And it's Millie's Italian sausage.
Okay.
They got these, it's like a vertical charcoal grill thing. And they have these skewers that have Italian sausages on them and they're grilling them right on the charcoal vertically. Oh, they look and smell so delicious. Then you get them and they've got this little crispy Chartino's bun and oh man. Delicious.
Delicious.
Number four for you.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't finish my number five. It's Mexican street corn nachos.
Oh,
from Tropics.
Okay.
On Wheatley Way between Center and First. It's the Mexican style street corn, street corn on nachos.
Okay.
Very good.
All right.
My number, what are we at? Number four?
Four. Yeah.
Okay. So this is at Richie's Cheese Curd Tacos, also on Wheatley Way.
A lot of tacos are on Wheatley Way.
Yeah, they're cheese curd and brat tacos.
Oh,
cheese curd and brats as a taco, you can't go wrong. They debuted in 2017. They made the top list of fair foods because they're deep fried and crispy with cheese.
Mm-hmm.
It's a handheld one, you know, dish kind of food. It's like, it's perfect. Okay. And I do want to put a disclaimer on this. the most overrated thing at State Fair is cream puffs.
Yes. I agree.
They have no flavor. It's like,
no,
what is everybody all gaga about these things?
Cause it's a tradition.
It's like everybody waits in line to go get, I'm like, why?
I know I don't like the pastry. It tastes too eggy.
Yeah.
I don't mind the cream.
But the cream doesn't have...
It's nothing.
Like, doesn't have any flavor. Yeah. I'm like...
And people will walk around State Fair with boxes of these things.
Yes.
Like, it's 90 degrees out and you have cream puffs.
Yeah, by the time you get home, it's all melted. It's like, why did you bother?
What did you do?
I just wanted to get that in because that's like...
a little griping, but hey, what are you going to do? It's time for this.
Three.
Number three for me, it's a tie.
Ooh.
And it's a tie. In fact, the only time I've ever had them was with... I was at State Fair with Jimmy Jam and another guy from work, Jared. And was there anybody else there? I don't even remember. But it's a tie. It's deep fried butter and the Krispy Kreme cheeseburger.
Ooh.
So start with the easy one. Krispy Kreme cheeseburger.
Yeah, it's been around a little while now.
Krispy Kreme glazed donut cut in half with a cheeseburger in between. I thought it was going to be disgusting, but the sweet and cheeseburger thing, amazing.
Yeah, salty, sweet.
Haven't seen them there for a long time.
Now, that was a thing for a little bit, and then it kind of went away.
Kind of like the deep fried butter.
Yeah, true.
Okay, how are they going to do this?
Yeah.
So apparently they take a stick of butter, cut it into four pieces.
Okay.
Cold. So
yeah, it's going to be frozen.
Got to
be
frozen or refrigerated.
Yeah.
Wrap it in a wonton.
Okay.
Deep fry it.
Okay.
Put it in a basket, sprinkle powdered sugar over it.
Hmm.
Do you ever have, remember freshen up gum?
Yeah.
Like a pillow of gum and you bite into it and it just like shoots some liquid flavoring into your mouth?
Yeah.
That's what this was. Kind of that? Butter.
Oh,
you take it, and the cubes are, think about a stick of butter cut into quarters.
Yeah.
So it's not a small piece.
Correct.
And you can't, because the first one I made the mistake taking a bite out of it.
Oh, and then it all gooshed out.
Butter on my shirt and walking around State Fair looking like a dumbass with a butter stain.
Like everybody else at State Fair.
So the next one, I put the whole thing in my mouth and it just blows up in your mouth like a big pimple. But
I don't think I'd like butter. I don't like butter that much.
You could only have two.
Yeah.
Because your stomach was coated.
Yeah.
Yeah, the four was a little overkill.
I don't think I'd be able to do that.
All right, number three for you.
Okay, number three for me is a tie.
Okay.
Both of these come from the Worst Bar,
okay,
which is on Central Avenue and 2nd Street. There is two things. There is number one, the Beer Cheese Wisconsin Lava Cake.
Oh.
It is a savory take on a sweet classic. The Beer Cheese Wisconsin Lava Cake sums up Wisconsin in one bite. These salted Milwaukee Pretzel Company slider buns are filled with famous beer cheese soup topped with butter and pretzel salt and drizzled with house-made hot honey and red pepper flakes.
Oh.
And it is delicious. So, and the one thing that I did notice somebody said is like, it's the stupidest name for a product that is awesome.
Yeah.
If they renamed this something besides lava cake, which everybody's thinking
chocolate.
Yeah. Everybody's thinking sweet.
Yeah.
It's not sweet at all. Everything I seem to be picking is pretzel related, apparently. but it's kind of like a cheese dip pretzel.
Okay.
It's just really good. And the tie with it, again, from the Worst Bar, is loaded, and I don't know how they pronounce it. It's a D-O-N-E-R, but the O has the umlaut above it.
Oh,
so I don't know if it's Donner fries or Donner fries.
Motley Crue?
Yeah. Donner. So Donner? So I think it's Donner fries. But again, it's at the Worst Bar. It's roasted chicken, red cabbage, arugula, red onion, iceberg lettuce, carrots, white sauce, and house spicy aioli over a bed of fries.
Oh, that doesn't sound that bad.
So you got, I'm having a salad. Well, with fries.
And cheese.
Yeah. So it's a little different, but it's, if you go to the Worst Bar, Worst is W-U with the umlaut, R-S-T, bar, all one word. It's very good.
Okay.
Very good.
Let's move on.
Two.
Number two for me, a Sheboygan brat. So these are all over State Fair. They're little brat houses and they're Sheboygan brats.
Yeah.
They're from a meat company up in, Sheboygan.
Surprisingly. You know?
But Sheboygan brat with the, and you have to have the brown mustard.
Oh, yes.
The ketchup and sauerkraut.
No ketchup.
Oh, yes.
You cannot put ketchup on a brat. It's wrong.
Now you're like one of those people that say you can't put ketchup on a hot dog.
You can't. It's
stop.
I'm not a 13-year-old boy. I don't even, and honest, and 100% honest with you,
yes.
I don't even use ketchup at home. I don't
like ketchup either.
I use chili sauce.
Okay. I'll use like a barbecue sauce.
It's got much more flavor to it.
Yeah.
And ketchup is just, it's just sweet note. One sweet note.
Yeah. And but I'll put it on my hot dog because I always put mustard on with it. Brown mustard. Yellow. I'm not a yellow mustard fan.
I'll use any kind of mustard. I don't care. Yeah. It's all good. I like Dijon. I like horseradish mustard. Yep. Very good. But
you like the Dusseldorf?
Yes. Any brown mustard is good. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all good.
Number two for you?
I'm kind of torn here. I'm gonna go pizza lumpia.
Okay.
Is how it's pronounced. It's L-U-M-P-I-A.
Okay.
It's a Filipino appetizer that is comparable to an egg roll. It's got a thin, crispy wrapper filled with classic pizza ingredients.
Okay.
And it's just deep fried. It's, you know, so
like a pizza egg roll.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, that's exactly what it is. But but the weird thing is it's supposedly is from the Philippines. And I'm like, pizza's Italian. Yeah. Egg rolls are Chinese.
Philippines are just a mixture of
it's like
boys that want to be girls.
Yeah, how did they get there? It's like, okay, whatever.
And finally,
number one,
top five state fair foods for me. In fact, last year I went there myself just to walk around, and I tried every one I could find.
Okay.
Deep fried cheese curds.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
There's nothing wrong
Hot
with that.
Hot cheese melty and... covered in breading and
the only thing bad is if you go to a state fair day where it's above 90.
Yeah. Well, they never get cold.
But no, but the cheese then starts to coagulate in your stomach. It's like, that was a mistake.
Yeah, but give me a deep fried cheese curd. I don't need any dippings.
No.
If you have to have dippings, it's not a very good cheese curd.
That's true. That's true.
Number one for you.
So I'm tied at number one.
Okay.
I'm thrown. And my second choice will not be a surprise to you. My first choice might be. So this is from Rick's Pizza.
Okay.
It's at the North Grandstand. So it's under the grandstand.
Okay.
Or you can get it at Spin City Adult Area. And it is the Dill Pickle Pizza. And again, this is one of those ones, love or hate. If you love pickles... you're going to love this. If you don't, you're not. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's a pizza with pickles on it. It's surprisingly, again, one of those things you think about and you go like, how is this going to be good? But it is good. I think it's because you bake it maybe and the pickles turn a different. It's
yeah, because it's like deep fried pickles.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah. But it's, I don't know, it's not a pizza. Right. And my number two, and this is not going to surprise anybody, this is from Gertrude's Pretzels.
No kidding.
Yeah.
A pretzel?
Yeah. It's a pretzel. It's a pignol pretzel popper brat.
Oh.
This one, the 2022 Sporky, it's a 10-inch jalapeno cheddar bratwurst from St. Joe's Country Market. That's from La Crosse.
Okay.
Wrapped in pretzel dough. Topped with coarse pretzel salt, fresh cut jalapenos, and white cheddar sauce.
That sounds good.
It's freaking awesome. It's one of the things like you're talking about. It's like, I can walk around with this at fair for an hour, and it's not going to get cold. It's still going to be delicious. And it has pretzel stuff on it, so it's good.
Well, that's it. That's our top five.
That was easy.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
Yeah.
Which means it's time to move on. To this.
You can't handle the truth.
I can't lie.
You sit on a throne of lies.
You are a bald-faced liar.
I fucking hate liars.
And the truth shall set you free.
That's right. 48 minutes in, and we're going to actually hit some football.
Why are we rushing?
It's time for our true lies segment, everybody. I'm going to name off five statements that were said by some kind of a talking head person in a sports world. And we're going to decide whether or not we think those are true or if it's a lie.
Okay.
We start with number one. Brandon Ayuk will be traded to New England Patriots during the draft.
Oh, during the draft. I'll say no.
I said lie also.
Yeah. Plus, I think the rumor mill as it's going right now, his likely landing spot, first of all, his likely landing spot is staying in San Francisco.
Yeah.
His second most likely landing spot is Pittsburgh.
Oh.
So, yeah.
All right. Number two, Brandon Ayuk will be traded to the New York Jets during the draft.
And I have that as a lie as well.
Okay, I got that as a lie also. Number three, the Arizona Cardinals will trade away the number four pick in the 2024 draft.
I have to stick with my latest mock draft, and I will say that's a lie.
Really?
Yes.
I'm saying true.
I'm thinking they want too much.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be able to make a deal.
Okay.
Plus, whoever wants to get that pick can trade with the Chargers and at five.
One pick down.
Get the same guy.
Yeah, because Arizona is not going to trade.
It's going to be J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
So if the Chargers will trade for less, then the deal's going to be made with the Chargers. So.
All right. Number four, the Atlanta Falcons, or Falcons as we say in America.
Yeah.
Will take the first defensive player with the number eight pick in the 2024 draft.
Now that you've fixed it, I will agree and say true.
I'm true too. And number five, the Chicago Bears trade down from the number nine pick in the NFL draft. I have this as true.
I think they should. I don't think they will.
Nope. So you're saying lie.
I think it's a lie. I just don't think they'll do it. I don't have any faith in Ryan Poles as a GM.
Okay. And as we do with every true lie segment, we do a pop culture question.
Uh-oh.
Wayne gets to decide a number between zero and five.
And I don't think I've ever gone five. Let's just go five.
Well, you can. It's got to be between zero and five.
All right. Let's just go with four then.
Okay. Number four.
You could have just read four and pretended like it was five instead of making me look like a boob.
That would have been like saying the Broncos have the number nine pick and so do the Falcons.
There you go.
Or the Bears or whatever it is. Number four. Renewables will overtake coal in global electricity generation in 2024. I'm going to say that's a lie. I don't think renewables are anywhere near close to being capable of taking over number one electricity generation.
Now that Ford is sending out adapters so everybody that has a new Ford EV can go and charge them at Tesla stations, that's going to change the dramatically.
Here, have this little adapter in your car with you, huh?
Yeah, it's so stupid. No, I don't think so either.
All right. There you go. That's it for True Lies, everybody. And you know what that leads into.
Uh-oh, something dangerous?
First for local news with traffic and weather together.
Breaking news tonight.
Good evening, San Diego. I'm Ron Burgundy.
And I'm Veronica Corningstone. Tonight's top story.
We start with this. The Cleveland Browns running back Nick Chubb has reworked his contract so that he will get $11.75 million for the 2024 season with the chance to get back what was lowered from the original contract through incentives.
What was his original number? Was it 17?
Okay. Chubb is coming off another catastrophic knee injury and carrying one of the highest running back salaries in the league. Chubb's early underdog ADP of 93.7 was always too good to be true, and this news is bound to move that ADP up significantly. Should Chubb be ready to go at week one, he would absolutely be worth a third round pick at worst.
I don't think he's going to be ready for week one, though, from what I'm hearing.
That was a bad knee, because wasn't it a couple ligaments?
I don't think he's going to be ready for week one. But
that's a little bad news, then. We got more bad news.
Uh-oh.
It's time for the Chiefs. Their star second-year wide receiver, Rashee Rice, has an arrest warrant issued for him that includes six counts of collision involving bodily injury, one count of collision involving serious bodily injury, and one count of aggravated assault after he was involved in a pileup on an area freeway caused by a car he was driving and another car that was racing each other.
Well, and as it turns out, number one, I don't know why they needed to issue a warrant because he was cooperating.
Yes, so, sure he was.
I mean, they couldn't get a statement from him because they couldn't find him.
Maybe
but
it's an official thing.
Yeah.
We just had to say.
Yeah. But it turns out the other guy in the other car was a guy that was in the draft this year.
No way.
Yeah. So he is
clearly going to be plummeting down.
Yes, he's going to be taking the Warren Sapp Randy Moss tour of the rounds.
Yeah, okay. So I find that interesting.
So it's hard to see Rice avoiding a suspension after this, although the league is very much known for not issuing suspensions until after the legal system runs its course.
Well, they just cleared, not exonerated, not cleared Zay Flowers. Not enough evidence in the girlfriend beating, whatever it was.
Really? The bruises didn't? No. So regarding Rice, this means that he may not miss any time this season. There has been speculation that the Chiefs could ask him to stay away from the team on paid leave, as they did with Tyreek Hill during his legal troubles. And some have even opined that they could seek to void his contract.
That's always the go-to. It's like, what is it? Conduct detrimental to the league or whatever. Yeah. It's always like, that's what we're going to go with because we don't want to pay him.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Rice's ADP has already fallen to 37 in early underdog drafts and should fall even further. It might end up being a good time to buy Rice in dynasty leagues.
Not true.
But if the Chiefs go wide receiver in round one, Rice's value will fall even further.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, Nick Holtz, the offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans, says he sees Tyjae Spears and Tony Pollard as interchangeable.
Stupid.
Now, this may sound like trouble for fantasy. It can mean that they both are very every week RB2 flex plays if Will Levis improves and the offense moves up in production and efficiency.
That's true.
Tony Pollard's ADP has not dropped significantly after signing with Tennessee. He currently sits at 84 in underdog drafts. Spears, on the other hand, has fallen more to number 114, which may be unwarranted if we are to take Holt's word at face value. I mean, I cannot think anyone really believes Pollard is a superior talent, right?
No.
Spears may be the better investment in redraft than best ball leagues.
Always take the guy that's lower rated.
Yep. Move on. Second-year pro Aiden O'Connell. Remember him?
Yep.
The guy put a lot of hope in my dynasty drafts. He's set to battle free agent Gardner Minshew and any other possible quarterback draftee for the starting position this year. He said, I think especially at this level, and I thought the same thing at Purdue, but especially at this level, there's going to be competition. That's what he told the team's official website. I mean, it's the best of the best. The coaches and administration want to bring in the best players possible to try and make the team better. And the best guys are going to play. So I'm just trying to do my job. O'Connell showed flashes, but also struggled for stretches as defensives got more tape on him. Shane Steichen, next story. Head coach of the Indianapolis Colts was talking about Anthony Richardson and his rehab. Steichen said, he's in a really good spot. Steichen said of Richardson, he's had really good discussions that I'll obviously keep private, but he's in a really good spot. Shoulders feeling good, should be good to go for practices like we talked about earlier. He'll be out there throwing, but we'll limit him in those throws. We'll obviously monitor it, makes sure we're smart with that, but he's in a really good place. Next up, Denver wide receiver Cortland Sutton is entering his seventh season with Denver. In that time, he has seen 10 different starting quarterbacks. With just $2 million left in guaranteed money on his current contract, Sutton has decided that he is done volunteering for extra work. He will be declining to report to Denver's voluntary workouts until he gets a new contract. Now, we move on. Here's some good news, maybe. And I know Wayne's going to like this one. Applebee's Grill and Bar and the NFL have announced that they have entered into a multi-year partnership agreement that designates Applebee's as the official grill and bar of the NFL. Now, with this new partnership, Applebee's will leverage the entire NFL calendar, beginning with this week's upcoming NFL draft. So they're saying if you want some free food but want to only get that free food, that's what I'm telling you. You want free food, but you only want to get that free food after going through a barrage of BS in order to get it? Well, to help the NFL's kick off the road to Super Bowl $54.59? Applebee's is offering 20 free boneless wings with a $40 online purchase during the 2024 NFL Draft. From Thursday, April 25th through Saturday, April 27th, guests can order to go or delivery directly from Applebee's.com or Applebee's mobile app. Now, of course, with that, there comes a little asterisk, and here's that asterisk. For limited time at participating locations, online orders via the Applebee's website or more mobile app only. Minimum order of $40 excluding alcohol, tax, delivery, and service fees, and gratuity. Limit one order of 20 free boneless wings per order, not valid on third-party delivery sites. Delivery coverage varies by restaurant, and other restrictions may apply. So there you go. What did I tell you? You want free food, but you want to go through a whole bunch of BS in order to get it. There's your little game plan for you during the draft. And finally, with the NFL draft coming up this weekend, it's time to start getting your wits about you for your own fantasy draft that will be coming faster than you realize. It is time to take some keys from the NFL pros and make sure you understand all the people you are dealing with in your league draft. Here's a small list of different draft types and how to deal with them.
Yeah. There's a lot.
Yeah. We start with this one. The deft drafters, or otherwise known as me.
Oh, okay.
Me.
I have no idea who that is.
These are the guys who just seem to be better at scouting and evaluating college players than others. Me.
It's nobody in the NFL, that's for dang sure.
They also may just have better sources that they rely on than most. You have to identify these people in your draft group before you start drafting so that you are able to maneuver your draft list to get the guys you want before they are scooped up by these deft drafters known as me. You also might want to plan out some possible draft day trades in order to get your guys before they are picked up by the deft drafters. Right?
That's not a bad plan.
The next kind of draft guy you got to watch out for, or girl, the mirror drafter. These are the league mates who evaluate or value players the same way you do. So maybe they're the person or people who are working off the same draft board as you.
Okay.
Assuming you are the type of drafter that just goes off a draft day cheat sheet. Or you need to also be ready to zig when they zag so that you are prepared for circumstances in the draft where you're going to have to adjust accordingly away from your pick on the cheat sheet and not be afraid to do that.
Right? Yeah.
Number three, this is one that we deal with all the time.
Oh, boy.
Well, because one's me in the Dynasty League. The positional bias drafter.
Oh, yes.
Sometimes Dynasty drafters are more comfortable evaluating certain positions, which is then reflected in their draft history. These players will tend towards a position they have over-evaluated when they are drafting within a tier or between similar player values. These types of drafters also tend to have a tendency to trade for specific positions year after year while ignoring using a draft tool as to restock that position.
A draft tool like what?
A cheat
calculator?
Sheet? Stop. The next one, the best player available drafter. What?
I hate that terminology because every NFL team says, we're going to draft the best player available. You can draft the best player available for the hole you have in your lineup, for God's sake. Don't be stupid.
There are always a player or two in every draft that has a mental ability and fortitude to not shy away from simply drafting the best player available, regardless of position and his or her need at that position. At least when you identify this person, you're going to be pretty sure who will be off the board once the pick comes around to you. So you can kind of plan ahead.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, next one. The see-it-to-believe-it drafter. These are the players who do not look at a dynasty draft as a lifeblood of building a successful dynasty team, And would rather trade the picks for established players that already have a sample size and proven track record at the NFL level. Figuring these drafters out, and this one is pretty easy.
Yeah. We get a couple of those.
Yes. Serve you well when identifying how to trade for players.
Yeah.
Then next one, the opportunity knocks drafter. So this is the drafter who believes landing spot and situation trumps talent every time. That's you raising your hand?
Every single time. we proved that last year with every single running back that got drafted by a stupid team that didn't need him.
Yeah. There will always be a player in your league who cannot help themselves thinking a second-tier quarterback on a great offensive NFL team is going to be much better than the first overall pick going to, say, I don't know, Chicago?
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
Knowing this person can work to your benefit. Hmm. Right? Then you have the Fansville drafter. If you're in, if you are in an older, more established league.
They like the team, the guys from the local team. Yeah, yeah, okay.
You don't have to deal with this person often, but they're always the odd time when this guy shows up at your draft. They're the person who can simply not separate their team loyalty from talent and always zeroes in on the newest addition to their favorite NFL team.
It's why I don't have Packers on my roster, because they're overvalued.
So you and Dan are the same thing.
You can't yeah. draft them because everybody overvalues them. It's like they're not that good.
Yeah. So this guy is very easy to take advantage of when it comes to training time.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Any others that you
can think of? No, those are all good categories.
Which means it's the end of our news and notes.
That is the news for tonight.
From the entire Channel 4 news team, I'm Veronica Corningstone.
And I'm Ron Burgundy. Go fuck yourself, San Diego.
And that means it's time to move on to our final mock draft. Mock draft 4.0.
Okie dokie.
I just have a couple differences in mind now. So top of it still remains the same for me.
Okay.
I have Caleb Williams wrecking his career and going to Chicago.
I don't know if he's wrecking his career because I don't know how much of a career he really was going to have. I honestly believe this guy's not going to be as good as everybody thinks he is.
Who sent out the text to the group this morning? Did you see that?
No, I did not.
Where Caleb Williams said that he grew up a Packers fan mainly because of Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, shit.
But he can't bring himself to being a Jets fan just because Aaron Rodgers is there. I will root for Aaron Rodgers, but I can't be a Jets fan. He's a Packer fan.
Okay. So. That's going to be tough being a Bears quarterback and being a Packer
getting
fan.
Your ass kicked all the time.
Yeah.
You're number one?
I still have Caleb Williams, yep.
All right. Number two, I still have Washington going with the pro-style quarterback over the shiny new toy. So I have him taking Drake May.
And I'm telling you, the mock drafts are all over the place.
Yes.
But I'm thinking people are starting to come around to my way of thinking, so I'm going with Jaden Daniels still. They're starting to wise up and realize that I'm smarter than they are.
Now, if New England Patriots keep their draft spot here, which I don't know if they're going to.
I think they're going to because I don't think there's anybody that wants to trade up
that far.
I don't think there's anybody that thinks anybody's that valuable at this point. So I think either Arizona, and you know I don't think that Arizona is going to make the trade, or the Chargers
right
are going to be the most likely spot for somebody to move up for the number three quarterback.
All right, so I have New England staying here and taking Jaden Daniels.
And I have New England. I now have New England staying pat and taking Drake May.
Okay. I have Arizona staying where they're at, taking Marvin Harrison Jr.
As do I.
I have Minnesota making a trade with the Chargers.
That's what I have now, too.
Okay. And I'm taking JJ.
I do also.
All right.
JJ McCarthy.
New York Giants staying at six, taking the wide receiver Malik Nabers and screwing up his career.
I have the Giants taking Malik Nabers as well.
All right. First offensive lineman goes number seven to the Tennessee Titans. I have Joe Alt from Notre Dame.
Joe Alt.
Same thing for you.
Taking a Notre Dame guy, always a mistake, but yes, that's who I haven't taken.
And with our True Lies segment, number eight, Atlanta Falcons, I have the first defensive player going, Dallas Turner.
I as well have Dallas Turner going to the Falcons.
All right.
We're going to be very similar now.
Okay. Number nine, Chicago Bears. I haven't taken a receiver, even though they really don't need one.
Yeah, I switched up on this because I originally had him taking a receiver.
Yeah.
And then I started playing around with it. And I actually have him taking Jared Verse.
Okay. I have him taking Roma Dunze from Washington.
Okay.
New York Jets, number 10. I have Brock Bowers, tight end from Georgia.
As do I.
Okay.
Number I was torn between Roma Dunze here. Yeah. But I don't. According to the sites, wide receivers like their second need behind offensive tackle, but they could address the wide receiver thing by taking a tight end that is a receiver.
Right.
So I think Bowers makes more sense.
All right. Number 11, Los Angeles Chargers in the trade with
Minnesota.
I've taken tackle from Oregon State, Taliesa Fuaga.
Okay, I haven't taken tackle J.C. Latham.
Okay, from Alabama.
Yeah.
Number 12, Denver Broncos. I am avoiding all the noise, and I have him still taking Sean Payton's guy, Bo Nix, quarterback Oregon.
Mm. I haven't taken cornerback Quinnen Mitchell.
Ooh, the Toledo guy.
Yeah.
He's moving up.
Yeah.
Number 13, Las Vegas Raiders. This is where I have J.C. Latham, offensive tackle from Alabama.
And that's where I have Talis Afuaga.
Ah, another offense. Also, same offensive line.
Yeah.
New Orleans Saints, number 14, Olumuyiwa Fashanu, defensive end, Penn State.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Same guy?
Same guy.
All right. Number 15, Indianapolis Colts, Quinion Mitchell, cornerback, Toledo.
Now, this is the guy that fell the most in the draft for me, Roman Dunze.
Oh, can you see him?
Fell to Indianapolis. Oh,
Anthony Richardson to Roman, that would be fun.
Who's the other guy that they got? Who's the other?
Michael Pittman.
They got Pittman and Dunze. That'd be an awesome one, too.
Number 16, Seattle Seahawks. This is another one where I had to plug my ears and block out the noise. I have him taking the quarterback from Washington, Michael Penix.
Ooh.
And his bad arm and bad knees.
I have him taking Troy Fatanu,
okay,
offensive tackle.
All right. Number 17, Jacksonville Jaguars, cornerback, Alabama, Terrion Arnold.
Okay. I have him taking D-tackle Brian Murphy II.
Okay. Oh, the second.
Yeah. Mm.
I have Byron Murphy going number 18 to the Cincinnati Bengals, defensive lineman, Texas.
I have Jerzon Newton, defensive tackle, going to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Number 19, Los Angeles Rams. I've had this pick the same since Mock Draft 1.0. Liatu Latu, defensive end, UCLA.
I have the same.
Okay. Number 20, Pittsburgh Steelers. Rebuilding that offensive line with guard from Duke, Graham Barton.
I'm positive they're going to take an offensive lineman. I haven't taken Jackson Powers Johnson.
Okay.
Guy with three last names. Center? Yeah. The offensive centers. Apparently he can play other positions. So.
All right. Number 21, Miami Dolphins is where I have Jared Verse, defensive end from Florida State, going.
Okay, and I have Amarius Mims, offensive tackle, going to the Dolphins. Ooh.
There are a lot of places out there saying that the Packers are going to get him at 25.
I know.
That'd be nice if it, but.
Yeah. Well, I actually have this one playing out. I actually rotated a couple guys, so the Packers got the guy that I wanted to get, so, which will never happen. But.
Number 22, Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, that's the draft with your heart, not your head.
That's correct.
Number 22, Philadelphia Eagles, going cornerback, Clemson, Nate Wiggins.
I have Eagles taking a cornerback as well, Terrion Arnold.
Okay. Number 23, Los Angeles Chargers, wide receiver from Texas, Xavier Worthy, fastest guy in the draft.
And I will say this. This is my bold prediction. Whoever takes Xavier Worthy will be sad that they did.
Really?
He's going to stink on ice.
Wow.
He's going to be fast, but nothing else. It's like, who's the guy that the Giants took last year that was the fastest guy? It's like, what did he do? Zero. I have them taking Brian Thomas Jr., also wide receiver.
Oh, from LSU.
Yep.
Number 24, Dallas Cowboys, offensive tackle, Oklahoma, Tyler Guyton.
I also have them taking Tyler Guyton.
25, Green Bay Packers, cornerback, Iowa, Cooper DeJean.
That's who I have him taking. I have him playing safety, however.
Do you?
Cooper DeJean playing safety for the Packers.
Number 26, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Chop Robinson, defensive end, Penn State.
I have the same.
All right. Arizona Cardinals, Amarius Mims, offensive tackle, Georgia.
And I have the Cardinals taking Darius Robinson, an edge.
Okay. 28 Buffalo Bills. I have, this is where I have Brian Thomas, wide receiver, LSU.
And I have the Bills taking a wide receiver also, Adonai Mitchell.
Okay. Wide receiver, Texas. Yeah. I have Adonai Mitchell going 29 to the Detroit Lions.
I have the Lions taking cornerback Kool-Aid McKistry.
Oh.
I'm hoping to God he doesn't come to the Packers. But
I have Kool-Aid going number 30 to the Baltimore Ravens.
I have the Ravens actually taking offensive tackle Jordan Morgan.
Okay. Oh, that's a new guy.
Yeah.
Oh. Number 31, San Francisco 49ers, Troy Fautanu, guard from Washington.
And this is my, it's a lock. I have the Denver Broncos moving up in back into the first round.
Uh-oh.
Trading with the Niners, who need more picks because they need cheap guys that they can have under control because okay.
they're getting
cap
expensive.
Is way out of whack. Mm-hmm. Why they're talking about trading Ayuk. They're going to trade up and they're going to get Bo Nix here at wow. number 31. So they get the extra year of service time.
Yep.
Plus they get him on the cheap. Yep.
Number 32, Kansas City Chiefs, Xavier Leggett, wide receiver, South Carolina.
Okay, this is my lock pick of the draft. Kansas City Chiefs are going to take wide receiver Jalen Polk.
Wow. Another guy we haven't. Damn.
I thought they might. Now, I will say this. They might be in the Xavier Worthy business.
Yeah.
If they do, I think it's a mistake. They're looking for speed to replace.
Yeah, they had the Xavier Worthy with Kadarius Toney.
Yeah. So hopefully they're over that. But I'm hearing through the grapevine that just Jalen Polk guy is there. I think he's from Washington, maybe.
Okay.
But he's supposedly right up their alley, right up their cup of tea.
And as we all know, the draft starts Thursday night.
Yes.
We'll all be at Champs.
Cannot wait.
Be at Champs enjoying some food and drink. And
What time do you think the Packers will pick? Like 1 o'clock?
Yeah. Well, if they keep everything moving, which we know they won't.
No. We got to take time out for the fashion breaks. And
exactly. Fashion breaks and the over-talking by Mel Kiper.
Yes.
Sometimes I'm just a bitter old man.
Well, it's just aggravating when there's guys that are being drafted and they're not talking about them at all. And you're like, well, who's this guy? And then they're talking about a guy who's going to be picked six picks from now. It's like, I don't care. I want to know what just happened.
Yes. So that's it for our mock draft 4.0, the final one. This is the one that's going to count. We'll see who gets the most right.
There you go. There you go.
And that means it's time to go into said bar at Champs.
Oh,
have a drink and some food and look at a beautiful woman.
There you go.
There you go. And it's not all about just looking at a beautiful woman. It's learning something about them.
Is this all the same girl?
Yeah. Your pick.
Really?
Yes. Fantasy Girl of the Week, everybody. Check her out on the website, cffpodcast.com, the Fantasy Girl page. In fact, I got to get Dan's measurements up here. Not his measurements, but his guesses.
Hello.
So this week, it's one of Wayne's picks that he sent out twice now. Oh. So I better get this up there. Monica Barbaro. She was born June 17th, 1990 in San Francisco, California, and grew up in Mill Valley, California. She's an American actress known for her roles in The Cathedral, Top Gun Maverick, and At Midnight. She has also appeared in leading roles in the television series Unreal, Chicago Justice, The Good Cop, and FUBAR.
FUBAR, that's where I saw her.
She also had a recurring role as Lisa Apple in Splitting Up Together. Barbaro graduated from Tamaulipas High School in 2007. She started acting and dancing at an early age and went on to study ballet. While taking electives in acting, she completed a degree in balance or in dance. I could complete a degree balance. In balance. She completed a degree in dance at New York University Tisch School of the Arts. After graduating, she decided to pursue acting and return to San Francisco. The American actress stands 5'8" tall, weighs 123 pounds, brown hair, or brown eyes, black hair, well, except for somebody's pictures, and her measurements are.
Wow, this looks like three completely different girls.
So you're making excuses?
No, I'm just...
Wayne starts with the waist, as we all know.
I'm going to go with 24.
24, huh? I'm going to give you that because I think I have my numbers written down wrong.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to say 24 is correct.
Okay.
I have to check again to make sure, but I think you're right.
Okay.
Dan also had 24.
Okay.
Chest.
Yeah, and this is where it's a little weird because the
middle, yeah, they're all different.
The middle pick looks completely different.
Yeah, maybe she was younger there.
I think it's a different girl. I don't think it's the same girl. Belly button doesn't look the same. Eyebrows don't look the same. See, I look at other clues.
Okay.
So I'm saying it's a different girl, but yeah. I'm going to go 35.
Close. 34.
Yeah. I was going to do 34, but I'm like, I don't have the guts.
And let's see. Dance at 33, so you both get one ding.
Okay.
And hips.
Hmm. 34, 24, 35.
Exactly correct. Dan said the exact same thing. You and Dan are on the same chakras or whatever it is.
Well, see, that makes me feel bad.
Your fantasy girl, Monica Barbaro, everybody. Check her out on the website, cffpodcast.com, along with all the other, you know, football relevant stuff.
Yeah,
don't
yeah.
just don't just be a slime ball, dirt ball, look at girls.
Yeah. We have other content.
We have information.
That's right.
That's it for the show next week, or our next show in 2 weeks, right? Yeah. I have to double check.
Okay.
Because May, I leave for my Alaska cruise.
Oh.
So I have to check on when that is.
See when that falls? Okay.
But anyways, next show, we will have news and notes. We'll have draft fallout.
Oh.
Complain about where players went.
Yeah.
And see if there's any new sleepers that we have.
Yeah, none of these guys are any good because they went to the wrong teams.
We'll have another top five. It's going to be genie wishes, as suggested by one of our listeners.
Genie wishes? We got to find something to pair that with.
Yeah, I'll find something to pair that with.
Okay.
I'm thinking maybe, what about top five guilty pleasures?
That would kind of fall under wishes. Yeah.
All right. Top five genie, just like that. This is how shit gets done here.
Well, and guilty pleasures can be...
A lot of things. Top five genie wishes, top five guilty pleasures. Then we will do our true lies.
Okay.
If there's any left.
Yeah.
I'm running short on those and guys aren't saying stupid things. How many do I have left?
Wait a minute. Guys aren't saying stupid things?
Well, I have five left and one's going to be answered by during the draft.
Okay.
And that is... Brock Bowers will fall to the bottom half of the first round.
No.
No.
No way.
All right.
No way.
But I have to take that one out. So I have to hope somebody says something stupid or something like that or during this next couple weeks.
Well, we could,
which I'm sure will happen.
We could just listen to every single Jim Harbaugh coaching interview thing where he says stupid stuff
every
day. Did you
hear he got a tattoo?
No.
It says 15-0.
Oh, for God's sakes.
What a dork.
Well, does he know it's a 17-game season?
Well, no, this is from Michigan.
Michigan, okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
He's an idiot.
That and all kinds of other fun stuff that comes up. If you got questions, you know, make the show a little better.
Yeah.
Feel free to ask them. There's two ways you can do that. The Mission Barbecue email, cffpodcast@outmail.com, or you can do the Mountain Dew Spark fan line, 414-520 8249. Anything else?
We did both of those this week, so we showed that they both work.
They both exist. Anything else for you?
No, I'm exhausted. two top five lists in 1 week. I'm exhausted.
Settle down with that, Jim Jam. All right, everybody. Well, until next time, Casey Kasem always said, keep your feet on the ground, keep reaching for the stars. Right?
I think you're just going to get sued for that. But
be good.
See ya.